What do you think Jay Williams' ceiling would have been if he hadn't had his accident?
I did not expect him to be an All-Star.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think this is making the point. There's such a leap, and we've talked about this before. I think it's one of the most misunderstood things about basketball. The talent pool in basketball is so rich, and it truly is a game of inches because it's vertical. So a 6'8 wingspan is a big difference from a 6'11 wingspan, is a big difference from a 7'3 wingspan, and on and on and on. And all of that combines to mean the difference between your high school level and your D3 and your D1 and your pro and your NBA and your NBA sub-all-star and your NBA all-NBA, right? And then your MVP. Like, those layers are cavernous between each group. It's an incredibly stretched out landscape to make your way from, and this is what I mean by, like, Ronnie Fields, who, by the way, was a teammate of Kevin Garnett's, mm-hmm. if for those who haven't instantly Googled it, and an athletic type, you know, the Michael Jordan mold at the time. There's so much to cover to become very good in the NBA and then one of the best in the NBA and then to do that over a sustained period. I think Yao's a great example relative to Sabonis because he's someone who was more actualized. We actually got to see more of what that would be when he was healthy and when he was at the right age versus coming over at 30. And he was very good. He was an all-star, but I don't think anybody at any point, even with a little massaging or something, said, boy, that Yao Ming could be a top three player.
Well, you're a Celtics guy. I mean, like, Lynn Bias was a pretty realized product by that time. I mean, he was a prospect coming into the NBA. They had he had 3 years of college, 2 years, three.
I think it was three.
Yeah.
He's tough for me, both because growing up you had Len Bias and then Reggie Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the 35 in my handle comes from. But the idea of, you know, this person is no longer with us, and so we're going to celebrate and build up the mystique and build up the aura is very natural. And yet I think with Bias, who is a phenomenal player at Maryland and a phenomenal talent, what that means is we become blind to, like, how much more he had to go to be the level of player that, I mean, you see him put next to Jordan a lot. Like, oh, because when they were in the ACC, yada, yada, yada. But it's like, just go back. Just for me, just the basic one is just passing. Not a good passer.
See, I haven't really watched a whole lot of him. I'd have to just take your word on it. That's somebody that I need to investigate I would like to at some point.
You would love it. Electrifying athlete. And the footage and the way he played. One thing he did have that I think would have helped him be very successful. Certainly can see him being an all-star very early in the league. But, like, you know, Dominique Wilkins versus Jordan. Are they on the same plane of existence for you?
Wilkins versus Jordan?
Yeah.
What year? I mean, are you talking about when they played against each other?
Yeah, pick a year.
I mean, I think Jordan, more dynamic scorer, I would say. But what year would you – that'd be an interesting video to sort of put them on sort of the wine bottle approach.
Yeah.
That I know the Ringer does. If you picked a year, 88. When did he tore his Achilles in –
That was later.
What year?
That was 92, yeah. I want to say. Something okay, like that. Okay. 91, 92. It was later.
What if we said 88?
Okay. That's the year he goes toe-to-toe with Bird in the game seven. And I think that's right around his peak. It's one of those years in there near the end of the 80s.
I was just going to pull it up. You can edit this out. I always tell you this, like, you don't know.
I'm not editing any of this.
You can edit this out.
No.
You can edit me talking to my dog out of there.
I'm leaving all of that in.
So
the people have to know.
Just in terms of their raw numbers, you know, Jordan had a higher volume, but I guess Wilkins – Weren't his teams better sooner, though? I mean, around that time? Like, I don't know that it was totally a fair fight between the Bulls and the Hawks there. I guess so, you're starting to consider load and things like that.
Right. Well, it sounds like you are entertaining it. You do think when Dominique was at his best that he was kind of in the same category of player as Jordan. I guess I'm surprised.
Spots on the roller coaster is what I'm saying.
I'm very surprised by that answer.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not, I don't, Jordan was a more dynamic scorer at all points than Wilkins.
You blew up my point.
Sorry, well, go ahead. What's your good, submit your point.
I don't
Finish
remember.
it.
I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, you never do.
That's true.
The inches we need are all around us. That's what I wanted to do when you were went on your little inches rant there. Pacino? What is happening right now? This is what Ben does to me. I had Coles Wicker text me after the last time I was on here, and he was like, I love when you pause and ask if Ben is still there on his podcast.
Len Bias played 4 years at Maryland.
4 years.
4 years. Just want to correct the record on that one. And that's another thing. That's another point that's lost, right? You're going to be at a different point in your aging curve when you come into the game at 22 than when you come into the game now at 19 or 20 or things like that.
Yeah. Thinking basketball, my ass.
Wow. What has happened here? I'm chalking this up to the wrist injuries.
No, I'm totally fine. I'm fine. What else you got for me, man?
I don't know. You want to end the podcast?
No, we're not going to end it. We didn't talk about The Last Dance at all. That was what I was most excited to
The
talk to
Last
you
Dance. All right, let's do it. What are your thoughts on The Last Dance?
about. I just want to let everybody know that I had to talk Mr. Thinking Basketball. I had to talk him into watching the documentary. It's getting ready to come on. It's like Sunday. You remember this?
Wait, this
It's
is why you wanted to discuss it?
It's like so I could just lambast you. That's
Yeah,
why.
yeah.
So it's Sunday at like 8:45, and I'm like, "Are you excited?" And Ben was like, "You know, I don't think I'm gonna watch." And I was just like nuclear bomb brain. I was like, "What? What are you talking about? You're not gonna watch?" And you were very cynical. You weren't gonna
Yep.
watch it. Admit it. Defend yourself.
Absolutely. I don't defend myself against accusations. They stand.
That's not alleged. That is not alleged. I have the receipts. There, you did this. You weren't excited. Why weren't you excited?
Well,
Why weren't you excited? And what has happened? Are you liking the doc? This is your chance. Go ahead.
no, I love watching it, as I thought I would. I just wasn't overly excited in the sense that I didn't think there'd be a lot of new information.
Okay.
And I also assumed, I actually think I underestimated how prominent this would be. I assumed it would be fairly slanted toward Mr. Jordan and sort of.
I think you've been correct about that. I
Yeah.
think it has been.
I mean, this is complicated for me. I watched basically every three-peat Bulls game as a matter of religion. In fact, I still remember a game in 97. We had a blizzard where I grew up in Massachusetts, and the power went out. So obviously the satellite doesn't work. Back then, this is the League Pass back on DirecTV. And my dad had a shortwave radio, found the Chicago Bulls radio broadcast in the middle of this blizzard and huddled up by candlelight to listen to them lose to the Heat.
Wait a minute. You were in Massachusetts, weren't you?
Yes, I was. This is the power.
You picked the signal up there?
That's shortwave radio, man.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we never really did that. I didn't have cable, so I basically only saw the finer points of Jordan stuff, the NBA on NBC stuff, which is all great,
Okay,
but a
let
lot
me.
of the
Yeah,
the
go.
YouTube has been my way of sort of, and I've been flat out archiving this. Like I told you, every time I come across a good copy, some of these I legitimately hadn't seen, so I had to go find it. But as it relates to The Last Dance, yeah,
Let
I
me
mean, big fan. You've seen it all, is what you're saying.
No, let me get my rant off, okay?
Is
So
this at my expense?
the game in 1986 against Indiana, where Jordan is coming back from a broken foot. I think this was the first or second episode of The Last Dance. Do you remember?
I do.
Okay. So we're watching that. My wife and I are watching that. And the way they're describing this entire story is just factually not correct. And so, yeah.
Oh.
And so this is what I was concerned about, sort of watching this stuff where it's like, instead of, now, don't get me wrong, the nostalgia is off the charts. Entertainment-wise, I love it, reliving all these things. But in terms of the information flow and like getting new stuff, there's a bunch of books about Jordan. I've read documentaries. I followed him throughout his career. and they're telling the story of this Indiana game, and it's just not right. He had a pitch count that was slightly expanded. This idea that he played 7 minutes in each half, and he did that strictly up until Indiana, and he played 7 minutes in the Indiana game. I think he actually played 28 minutes in the Indiana game. And so all of this stuff was sort of glossed over. He got up into the 30s at the end of the year, I believe, in preparation for the playoffs. So
they made it sound like he was at like 13 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
And that was just not how that entire thing went. There was a lot of tension between him wanting to play more, but they just didn't really tell it in the way, you know, Google News used to have old newspaper articles and things like that. I don't know if I've clipped them, but this is the type of experience for me where, like, as they're going through this, I'm like, that's not really what happened. You left out that other part. That was really the only reason why I wasn't jazzed up to, I was certainly going to watch it at some point, but it wasn't, I think it was sold as like all this 10 hours of new footage. And I was like, hold on a sec, 10 hours of new footage. And how do you feel about that? I feel like relative to the 10 hours of footage that we're looking at, a very small percentage is the actual camera crew down in the, you know, bowels of the United Center or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not just 10 hours of only unreleased footage. If you're a Jordan fan, you know a lot of these stories. And what cracks me up is, I was joking with somebody about this, that former players are sort of like records sometimes, in the fact that they you have to sort of work with them to help them avoid getting into repeating things the exact way. Because some of these guys get asked these stories or like to recount things. And I actually like feel sorry for them in this way. They get asked to relive these things, and some of them enjoy it, I'm sure. Some are annoyed, like thousands of times throughout their life. I'm certain of that. And Jordan being chief among those people, I just love when, because I've read and seen a ton of his interviews, and I just think it's funny how he'll go into these stories and these even jokes, like to the beat, and he'll repeat them as if we've never heard them. Like the how bad's the headache story. I don't even know how many times I've heard that. Or the, you know what I'm talking about? The like
Pippen.
That where he says Reinsdorf is making the illustration to him of like, you know, if one of the pills is cyanide.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. Heard that
or,
one.
Or the note, there's an I in win, but there's not an I in team.
Yeah.
Like, just a lot of those things. It's just funny how, what do you think about the release day that they said that Jordan approved this on the day? Did you see that story?
No.
They said, I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that Jordan approved the footage usage, the day, like the same day the Cavs had like their championship parade in 2016, I guess it was. Yeah.
I mean, I can buy it. If that's what you're saying.
Do you think that this is going to have any impact on his legacy, on the younger generation?
I think it's impacting the younger generation. I've tweeted about this. The number of people who are saying they're changing their GOAT rankings because of the documentary is alarming, only in the sense that how many other GOAT documentaries have you watched? I mean, it's a very confusing thing. Let's assume, obviously, most of the work I do doesn't involve this kind of criteria, but let's assume that part of your criteria was, you know, personality and mystique and these narratives and all the things that hero's journey that comes with what we're seeing in The Last Dance, right? Mm-hmm. How many other guys have they seen have these stories told about? That's what throws me. It's like, I mean, can we get one about a few other players before he's the only one?
It's just such an unquantifiable, and you tackling this, there are so many unquantifiable things about this. And like, I don't know, what do you, and I know you've written a book about this, but what do you think about the idea that, like, I know Jerry West has said that you shouldn't factor championships into it. Like, I don't know. I guess that's just sort of a sword that Jordan people wave at everyone that comes near the GOAT discussion.
I see you've made it far through the book.
You always do this to me. You know, speaking of books, I've been going back for this Jordan video I'm doing right now. I've been going back through Playing for Keeps.
And, yeah, it's a good one.
I would recommend people do that.
Yeah, Halberstam is great.
It really brings some extra color to a lot of this subject matter.
I like how you changed the subject right away.
It was sly. You
have very to admit slick.
It was pretty slick and sly.
Wonderful crossover change of direction that you threw at me. What were we talking about? I always forget.
We were talking about The Last Dance, man.
Something more specific about The Last Dance.
If you were surprised by any of the footage, or if I said, is it going to change the perspective of younger people?
Oh, you asked me a question. You asked me about championships.
I mean, that's a bottomless pit discussion.
I don't think it is. I think it's an incredibly simple one. I think if you want to create different criteria for how you think of something being great, that is a subjective decision. There's no right or wrong answer. The greatest player to some people may be the prettiest. It may be the one that's the most inspirational, right? Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things that each individual person could come up with to say, this is my criteria for greatness. But if you care about on-court impact, how much someone is helping the team, how much they're driving the scoreboard in their team's favor, all the things that I try to spend all of my time playing in, then you don't want to look at championships because they confuse things. You want to look at the actual product on the court. The championships are going to be influenced by the teammates and the competition and the coaching. And for some guys, they're going to get a huge boost. Jordan is one, by the way.
Well, I think that's important to, that's pretty material to something to take away from this documentary, I think, is just that Jordan was fortunate to be in an organization that made some pretty critically great decisions, but then also had issues.
It's a weird thing to think about because the timeline of the 90s, if Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen don't come in, you are probably not talking about this Beatles-esque phenomenon of 6 championships, the world. I mean, the Chicago Bulls were nothing as a franchise, and they just became, you know, on hats and jackets and t-shirts all over the world. There used to be all these stories about, you know, the kids in African villages who lived in poverty in these very, you know, sort of poor circumstances. And the one thing they wanted was to keep the Michael Jordan jersey, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think...
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just don't think that timeline really exists where we think about basketball that way. We think about needing a guy to score 32 points a game to be the best. I don't think any of that exists without Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant coming to the Bulls. It's not to say Jordan wouldn't have won at other points, but that timeline doesn't happen without the guys around him.
Yeah, it's something that definitely needs to be noted, just how fortunate he was. I mean, and Pippen getting his due. One thing that I would say in defense of Scottie Pippen in this documentary is I get exercise migraines like the ones that he has described over the years that happened. Let me just tell you, if you got one of those before a major playoff game, you're not playing. I don't even know how he went out on the floor. I'm being dead serious. I used to get them before practice. A couple times I got them before a game in high school. And dude, you can't play. You literally lose your vision for like a good hour. So I don't know. I feel sorry for Scottie Pippen on that one. People kind of poke fun at him and say, you know, wow, what a wuss. I mean, you're debilitated. You have to lay down in the dark. That's what happens. I don't know if you – do you ever get those? Have you ever had one?
I don't. I know people who have. And I just think in general as a culture, we do not respect other people's ailments if we haven't experienced them. And so something like that sound, you know, the problem with that word is not migraine, it's the headache part. Mm-hmm. Right. And so people think like, oh, you had a bad headache, big deal.
Yeah. You basically feel like you're going to vomit for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Can't see, have to lay down. I, to this day, if I know I'm going to be playing basketball, I think it's about hydration. I don't know if I have no scientific kind of connection there, but if I know I'm going to be playing, I have to like hydrate intensely before so that I don't get one. They're that terrible. So Scottie Pippen, if you hear this, I sympathize. I feel bad for you. Sorry, buddy. Not going to apologize for all the other stuff you did, but yeah, checking out of the game, stuff like that. You still there?
I was just wondering if I could get you to ask if I was still there.
You ass.
I gotta really edit this thing.
I'm sorry.
I gotta take out all your swears at me.
Well, what sometimes they're good.
What if I just edit it? You know, speaking of carefully tailored documentaries.
Yeah, you should carefully tailor it to be pro Ben, make
Yeah.
me look like a monster.
Yes, like all just all constantly every time I say something, are you there? It's you son of a bitch.
Thinking basketball, my
They're
ass.
thinking
Yeah.
basketball, my ass.
Kyle Mann assaults Ben Taylor. Canceled.